There's something that the Lord's done in my heart and in my wife's heart and people around me that he's really revealed himself to me in such a real way. And today I just want to share my heart so real with y'all. I want to be so real with y'all today. And because the Bible says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So I'm going to speak from testimony today. I'm going to go to the word at some points where, you know, I feel led to go, but I'm going to speak from testimony. And so here's what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. Verse 18 says this, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." All right, I need everybody in here to kind of go along with me for a second, all right? Jesus says, pick up your cross daily and follow me. All right, so we get saved in a moment in time. It says the moment we believed upon God, we received his spirit. We're sealed for salvation through the Holy Spirit. But then there's this process. There's a life after salvation. There's the rest of your life. And Jesus, for us to follow him in this life, he requires that we pick up our cross daily and live from a place of surrender. And so I'm going to pray right now that God would come and speak to us, that he would come and teach us. And you know what? We need God. We need the Holy Spirit. We can't just do this thing. We can't just read the Bible and with our wisdom get it. We need for him to come and reveal it. We need for him to come and speak to our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Because it says, for the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. So the wisest person in the world, that's less than the foolishness of God. But it says later on in this book here that God, through his Spirit, reveals the deep things of God to us. He reveals his wisdom to us. It says that, just before that, it says, for Christ, both the power of God and the wisdom of God. Jesus is the wisdom of God. All knowledge, all wisdom, all power we could ever need, anything we could ever learn is in Jesus. It's been given to us. But we're not going to learn it just through our mind, through our own wisdom, through man's wisdom. We need God. And so y'all, I hope this isn't weird, but I'm just going to go on my knees right now. And would y'all join me? You don't have to get on your knees if you don't want to, but just go to a place of surrender with me. Go to a place of surrender, of taking up your cross and saying, God, we need to surrender, because if we don't surrender to you, if we don't live from this place of surrender, we'll never be able to learn. We'll never be able to be who you created us to be. Because Jesus paid such a price on the cross, not just to get us to heaven. He paid such a price on the cross to make us into his image, that we would walk in fullness of joy, that we wouldn't be anxious about anything. I mean, if we're anxious, if we're the body of Christ, if we're anxious and if we're nervous and if we worry about tomorrow, that's a problem. That's not okay. And I don't say that because I have the right to say that. I say that because God says that. God says to not be anxious about nothing. And if we're anxious, it's because we're not walking in the promise of God. The only way for us to walk in His promise is if we go to a place of surrender and allow God to reveal His promises to us. So let's pray, guys, seriously. If anyone wants to get on their knees, let's go. The other day I was at church and I responded to the altar call. I've been responding to the altar calls because there is so much more for me to grow in. There's so much more for me to lay down. I'm saved. But there's sanctification. It says we're being sanctified, body, soul, and spirit, to look like Jesus. There's so much more for all of us, no matter how old or how young you are in here. There's so much more that God has for us, and we'll never get there if we don't surrender. So let's go. Father, I thank you so much for your son, Jesus. I thank you, Father, that you have made him so real to me, God, that you have made him a reality in my life. Father, I thank you for surrender. I thank you that you give us the ability to completely be set free from us, that we can come before you right now, Lord, as your sons and as your daughters in Jesus, and we can completely surrender to Jesus. Paul talks about him knowing the resurrection, the power of the resurrection of Jesus, and he says that to know the power of the resurrection of Jesus, to fellowship in his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Father, I ask right now for your body. I pray on behalf of this church, on behalf of your body, that you would bring us all to a place of surrender, that you would conform us to the death of Jesus, God. Conform us completely to his death. That we would know the power of the resurrection. Because it says the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in me and quickens my mortal body to life. Father, you offer life. You offer so much purpose, God. And I pray right now, Lord, for all of us, including myself, that you would open our eyes and open our hearts to that. It says that the Holy Spirit comes and bears witness to our spirits that we are sons and daughters. And it is the Spirit of God that cries, the Spirit of His Son that cries out from within us, Abba, Father. Father, you loved the world so much that Jesus, the only one that pleased you, you wanted to make His home inside of us. So Father, help us right now. Help us. Your word is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit. Father, I pray for everyone in here that our soul would be so quiet, that we could hear your word and that your word would be power, that your word would transform us, that your word would mold us and it would shape us, and it would open our eyes and our hearts, God. Lord, I pray for the spirit of pride in this room right now. For the spirit of pride, Father, show us that it's okay to trust you. Show us that it's okay to listen and to say that we don't have it all together. In Jesus' name, amen. I really want to thank Pastor Jimmy for reaching out to me. It's such an honor that God would use me to preach the gospel, to share his heart. The Bible says that there's no good in me apart from Christ. And instead of sending an angel, instead of sending anybody else, he would pick me to share the good news of his gospel. My prayer is that that our eyes would be open to the value of the gospel, the beauty of it again. Because we've strayed away from the simplicity of the gospel. The fact that God would look down from heaven and he would see all across the earth, and it says in the Psalms that nobody seeks you. That nobody seeks God, that nobody does good, that everybody does bad, that everybody has turned astray. It says that in the Psalms. That no one was for God. Nobody. And God looked down from heaven, and he would tell his son Jesus, because it says that God so loved the world. He still loved us when we didn't have anything to offer. It says that God so loved the world that he gave his only son. So he would tell Jesus, he would say, "My son, go and get them back." And Jesus would be born of the virgin, come, live 30 years of his life completely normal with no credit, not receiving anything, because he had to live 30 years of a normal life before he even started his ministry. Literally lived the 30-year life of our life, being a carpenter, doing his job, whatever, going through life, experiencing. What if he was being a carpenter and he got a splinter? God got a splinter in his You know what I'm saying? He really fellowshiped with us in everything that we go through. It says in John 4 that he sat by the well because he was weary from his journey. Jesus would be weary, man. He would be weary because you're weary. And he is a priest. He is a mediator. He is our Savior. He is our God that has experienced everything that we go through. And he cares about everything that we go through. But anyway, in the Old Testament, Moses is up on the mountain, and God said, "Once the ram horn sounds, tell my people to come up, because until then, they would die if they come up here, but when the ram's horn sounds, they can come up and fellowship with me." So once the ram horn sounded, he goes down to his people, and he says, "Y'all come on up, spend time with Jesus, spend time with us, fellowship on the mountain." And the people said, out of fear, "No. You just tell God. Go on and tell God to tell us what to do. We don't want to go up there." So he goes back up. God gives him the law. God gives him the Ten Commandments and the 613 laws. So if we want to do this thing ourselves, if we think that we can be justified by being good, if we think that we can work our way and be a good person and get to heaven, we've completely lost our minds, because there's 613 laws and there's 10 commandments that God said, "This is my standard. This is my standard of holiness. And if you don't fulfill every single one and live by them, you can't be with me." It says that there's so much self-righteousness even in the body of Christ. It says that if I've fallen short in one area of the law, so if I do 612 laws right and I fall short on the 613th, it says I've become accountable for the whole thing. Or if I did no laws right and I sinned my whole life, never did anything good, and I missed at 613, I'm accountable for the whole thing. So if you either sinned your whole life and you're the worst person ever, or if you were the best person ever and you sinned once, you're the same in the eyes of God. God knew when he gave the law that no man could ever do it. He knew that. That's why it says that you were predestined to adoption before the foundations of the world. It says in Ephesians that it pleased God to make us accepted in the beloved. So Jesus comes along, and his whole life, perfect. 613 laws, 10 commandments, never failed. He achieved it. He fulfilled the law. He says, "I didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it." So Jesus fulfills the law, and God speaks over his son. He says, "This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased." And then Jesus goes to the cross because the Father told him to. See, how many of you know that I prayed for the president of the United States? Raise your hand. Okay. God really has laid it on my heart to go and preach the gospel to every creature. So I don't just pray for the president, and I didn't just pray for the president because our country needs it. I didn't just say, like, "Our country, we're really struggling, we need this." No, that wasn't it at all. I prayed for the president because the Lord told me to pray for the president, because the Lord loves Mr. Trump. He loves him. And he wanted to touch him in that moment. That was about him. And so when I saw Mr. Trump, I saw him the same way that I've seen a janitor. A janitor. Because you know what? God actually allows us to partake not in our own ministry, but the ministry of Jesus. Because he puts, like, this is the beauty of the cross, all right? So going back to this whole process of Jesus' life, right? Achieves the law. And then God tells him to go to the cross. He gives Jesus the authority over his own life. He says, I've been given authority over my life. I can lay it down and pick it up as I choose. God asked him to go to the cross, and Jesus is in the garden. He said, Father, let that cup pass from me, but not my will, but your will be done. So the beauty of the whole thing is this. Why did Jesus go to the cross? Jesus went to the cross out of obedience to the Father. God the Father wanted you back. God the Father said, go. Jesus says, not my will, but your will be done. It says that Jesus, in Philippians, it says that Jesus humbled himself as a servant, humbled himself even to the point of obedience, to the point of death on a cross. It says that he was obedient to the point of death on the cross. The whole ministry of Jesus is obedience, and we can learn from that. Because of his obedience to the Father gave him his heart for man. Because Jesus' love for us comes from the Father in him. He says, everything I see the Father do, I do in like manner. They ask him why he does everything. Jesus says, so that the world may know, says this in John, that the world may know that I love my Father, and as he gave me command, so I do. And so I'm saying all this to say this. God's really taught me. He's really taught me about two things. One, love God with all of your heart, soul, strength, mind, everything in you. That's the two commandments that Jesus leaves us with. Love God with everything and love your neighbor as yourself. He's really, really taught me how to not get weary when going around and loving people. Because the church, we get so weary loving people because we have the wrong perspective. We have the wrong perspective. Jesus didn't just come for us. Jesus didn't come to this earth and go all across the world just for us. He did it for his Father. He did it out of obedience. So Jesus goes to the cross and he dies. And guys, you need to read Psalm 18. Seriously. Psalm 18 is the only psalm that is in Samuel, in 2 Samuel. He quotes the whole thing. He says, this is David. David then spoke the words that he spoke on the day when God delivered him from Saul and his enemies. And if you haven't noticed, the Psalms, because of David's position in God, in his heart, David was called the Beloved. Jesus is the Beloved. David was a representation of Jesus. And because of the intimacy David had with God, God really allows David to have the heart of Jesus and have the words and the mind of Christ. And you see that all throughout the Psalms. If you go through Psalm 18, read that. And read it as Jesus' words. God, sometimes we don't know the price that he paid on the cross, but you know what? There's actually a tool that he's given us to see it. It's the Psalms. There's a lot of times in the Psalms where we can see what he went through. Psalm 18, verse 4, the pangs of death surrounded me. Picture this as Jesus, all right? The pangs of death surrounded me, and the floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The sorrows of Sheol, which means hell, surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. Jesus called upon God. When he was on the cross, he didn't just die a physical death. It says that he became a curse. Like Jesus, the one that was perfect and the one that was pleasing to the Father, came to this world to literally take every sin of ours. He who knew no sin became sin Jesus became a curse on the cross. And for that to happen, God took his spirit. God took his power. God took everything. God took it from him so that he could become that. And Jesus gave it to him. He says, my God, why have you forsaken me? The biggest pain of the cross wasn't just the physical pain of the nails, even though that was, like they say, one of the most excruciating deaths you could ever go through, one of the most painful things ever physically. That wasn't the most painful thing from him. The most painful thing from him was when God turned away, when his Father forsook him. And you realize that when that happened and Jesus went down to hell to pay for our sins, the devil could have his way with him? Do y'all realize that? Do y'all realize that? That it says that God doesn't give us a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and a sound mind. But when he took his spirit, Jesus now could experience fear. Fear in the grave. Think about that. Jesus went through fear. Listen to this. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry came before him, even to his ears. All right. In Matthew, I want you to keep an eye on this, all right? In Matthew, it says, like, once Jesus died, that the earth started to quake and shake, all right? The earth started to quake. Now look at verse 7. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations of the hills also quaked and were shaken. Why? Because he was angry. Think about that. The wrath of God. Jesus was the curse. The wrath of God poured out on the Son of Man. Think about that. The anger of God. When the hills were shaking after the death of Jesus, it was because of the anger of God. Not because of the devil, but because of sin on Jesus. The anger of God was on Jesus. The hills shook and the foundations of the world trembled because he was angry. All right. This is so good. Smoke went up from his nostrils and devouring fire from his mouth. Picture the wrath of God. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down with darkness under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and flew, and he flew on the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. His canopy around him was dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. From the brightness before him, his thick clouds passed hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. He sent out his arrows, lightning in abundance, and he vanquished them. Then the channels of the sea were seen. The foundations of the world were uncovered. At your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of your breath and your nostrils. So Jesus goes, right, and he dies. And here's the thing. When I became a Christian and when I started going to church, I wasn't appreciative of the cross. Like, I didn't really grasp it. I really wasn't appreciative. I didn't really love God, and I didn't love people. All the things that I've been telling you about, love God with all your heart and love people, like, love God with everything and love people as yourself. That was not me at all, at all. And there's a lot of people in here that's not you, and that's okay. I'm not trying to call you out, but there's a lot of people in here that's not you, that you really don't love God like Jesus loved God. You don't love people the way that Jesus did. That's fine. You know why? Because God replaces your heart of stone with a heart of flesh. It says that you inherit the promises through faith and patience. The only way that I ever got the heart for God and the heart for people, because guys, when I go up to pray for people, I don't just do it because it's my Christian obligation where I say, the Bible says I have to preach the gospel to every creature. I better do this or else I'm not going to heaven. That's not why I do it. When I go up to pray for somebody, ask Sydney. We were in the gas station yesterday, and there was this boy, and even Sydney, we got overcome with this love and this heart for this boy who really struggles. God wants us to do ministry. God wants us to do that out of love, to where it's not even a burden anymore, because guess what the promise of God is? Rest. Rest, not striving. It says in Galatians, it says, you, if you've begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? He said, foolish Galatians, you think that you got to go back to the works of the law. You think that you got to go back to trying to do and trying to prove. But God just wants us to be. He paid a price for us to be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. For when we're seated in Christ and when he's in us, when he's in us, I mean, think about it. You've heard we're in him and he's in us, right? We're in him. Jesus right now is in heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father. So when we're in him, we're seated with him next to the Father right now. Right now, we are with Christ next to God. And when we pray for someone to be healed, we pray with the authority of heaven. We do. It says in the Bible, if y'all read the Bible, it says 1 John, it says, if we say that we abide in him, we also ought to walk just as he walked. And when Jesus would say, get up, when Jesus would walk in righteousness, when Jesus would walk in love and in peace, the peace that he walked in, Jesus walked in perfect peace until God took that from him on the cross. His whole life he walked in peace. When he said, God, let this cup pass from me, it was the cup of his of the cross and the fact that God was taking his peace from him and his Holy Spirit from him. But we get to walk in the peace. Jesus says, my peace I leave you, my peace I give to you. Guys, I come to you today and I don't have a message, and I got on my knees, and guys, that's my posture right now, is because I really believe in y'all. And I know I'm just a 22-year-old kid, but I know Jesus. I know him. And he's given me the authority to speak to y'all today. Even if you're 80 years old, he's given me the authority to impart something to y'all today, to speak to y'all. So I really, really am here because I believe in you guys. Why? Because God believes in you. He believes in the Jesus that's in you. The Jesus Christ that lives on the inside of you. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Christ himself. Every single person in this room, it doesn't matter if you're in ministry or not. It doesn't matter. God has given you his son to carry throughout the earth. That Jesus, the only light of the world, the only hope that anybody has ever had, the only love ever, now lives inside of you. And you carry it. And you now are the light of the world. Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. But then he turns around in Matthew 5 and he says, you are the light of the world. He says, you are the light of the world. Guys, we can carry this thing. Seriously. Talk about a purpose for our life. Carrying the only light, the only hope. So, let me just finish this. It says, he sent from above. God sent the Holy Spirit to raise Jesus. He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me, for they were too strong for me. Jesus didn't have his power in the grave. The enemy was too strong for him when he was down there. Guys, we have this picture of Jesus just like punching the devil in the grave. But when he first died, that's not how it was. Until God sent his Holy Spirit on the third day to raise him, Jesus didn't have power. They confronted me in the day of calamity, but the Lord was my support. He also brought me out into a broad place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. This is why I know this isn't David, because David said all the time is repenting. David did so many things like wrong. You know what I'm saying? This is why it's not David. You ready? And this is David speaking. David says this because God allowed him to peer into the future. God allowed him to see the thoughts and the experience of Jesus and write it down on paper. According to my cleanse of my hands, he has recompensed me, for I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. Listen, for all his judgments, 613 laws and 10 commandments, for all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also blameless before him, and I kept myself from iniquity. Therefore, the Lord has recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his sight. Whew. All right, this is where it gets good. You ready? This is the victory part right here. You keep going. Go down to verse 35. You have also given me the shield of your salvation. Your right hand has held me up. Your gentleness has made me great. You enlarged my path under me, so my feet did not slip. Now listen to this. When Jesus was in the grave, and he goes from this place of his enemy is too strong for him, then God gives him his spirit. Then God raises him up and gives him victory and the keys over death. He says this, I have pursued my enemies and have overtaken them. Neither did I turn back again till they were destroyed. I have wounded them so that they could not rise. They have fallen under my feet. Satan is under the feet of Jesus, under his feet. And Satan is under our feet now because we are in Christ and Christ is in us. Christ in us means Christ is in us as we're in the world. Like we're with him in heaven and he's with us in the world, like right now. They have fallen under my feet, for you have armed me with strength for the battle. You have subdued under me those who rose up against me. You have also given me their necks, the necks of my enemies. So I destroyed those who hated me. They cried out, but there was none to save, even to the Lord, but he did not answer them. Then I beat them as fine as the dust before the wind. Come on. Huh? I beat them as fine as the dust before the wind and cast them out like dirt in the streets. All right, I just say all that to say this, like, it's really silly the power the enemy has now. Now that Jesus has won, it's silly. The only thing the enemy can do now is try and whisper a lie to you. That's it. That's it. He can't come against you. No way. Jesus beat him as fine as the dust before the wind, and he cast him out like dirt in the streets. Whew, gone. Get out of here, Satan. You know what I'm saying? So, when I went to President Trump, I saw him the same way I've seen other people. And guys, that's available to us. And if you're not walking in this, ask God to teach you. It says the Holy Spirit will come and it will teach you all things and bring to remembrance everything I've told you. The Holy Spirit is here for you. The Holy Spirit comes and he raises you. Okay, so it says Jesus died for my sin and rose again for my justification. He rose again to justify me. Why does him rising again justify me? Because the same Holy Spirit that rose him up from the dead lives inside of me and quickens my mortal body to life. So the life of Jesus, the righteousness of Jesus, when we were talking before about the law, the 613 laws and the 10 commandments, all of that is raised to life in you. Now you carry righteousness. Now the law, you're not accountable to the law anymore because the law has already been completed in you. When Jesus lives in you, the law is already complete in you. So, if I could say this, when you do ministry, if you do it for men, you're going to get weary. But if you do it for God, you're never going to grow weary. Because if you pray like this, Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come and your will be done. If you go up to people, not just because it's your duty, and not just for them, but if you do all things for God, if you do them all things as unto God and not to men, guys, like really, really, God has really taught me this. That when I go up to somebody, when he puts it on my heart, because he does this all the time, when he puts it on my heart to go up to the man in the grocery store, I don't have to be afraid anymore of what he thinks of me. Because I'm not doing it for him. I don't have to be worried that if I go up to him and has a broken arm and I pray for healing and I pray for healing over him, I don't have to worry that if he doesn't get healed, I'm going to misrepresent God, because that's not the heart of God. I do all things for my Father, regardless of the result. Because Jesus was never about results. If you think Jesus was about results and about like, oh, I hope they don't get offended, like walking on eggshells. If you think that's the way Jesus did, go read the Bible. Jesus was in John chapter 6, and he was speaking to a crowd of 5,000 people, and he said, if you don't drink my blood and eat my flesh, you can't have any part of me. And all of them said, that's too offending for us. We can't accept that. All of them left. All of them left because Jesus wasn't just there to cater to their needs. He's not just there to cater to us. He's not just there for us to invite him to be a part of our life and let us bring him. No, he's there to represent his Father. He's there to represent his Father and then make a way to invite us into him, for us to lay down our will and for us to lay down our life and live from a place of surrender, not just inviting Jesus to be a part of it, but really surrendering to him and saying, God, let me be a part of this thing because this is the best thing ever. This is the most purpose I've ever experienced. Seriously, y'all, if you want to experience this purpose, just ask. Because there's so many people in here that are saved but haven't really walked in purpose like this, y'all. And so that's pretty much all I have to say. But here's what I want to do. And I hope it's okay. Here's the thing. I responded to an altar call last Sunday because I want to grow in Jesus. I'm not there yet. Paul even himself says, not that I have already attained, but I press on towards the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Why is the kingdom here, but God asks us to pray for the kingdom to come? Because the kingdom's here, yes, but there's more. There's more. There's more. There's more. We're being sanctified into the image of Jesus. There's always more. So, if anybody in this room wants to do this thing, if anybody in this room wants to go all in with Jesus, I want to pray with you right now. So if anybody in here either is not saved, or if you're saved and you want to grow and you want to be like Jesus and you want to walk in these promises and you want, because guys, you inherit the promises through faith and patience. I want you to come up here and we're all going to pray together as a family because we are all one body. Right now. Come on. There we go. Let's go, baby. Come on. Guys, I get so fired up about this Jesus thing. Y'all have no idea, man. Let's go. I mean, if everybody wants to come up here, that's awesome. Let's go. Sorry, y'all, there's some people from the balcony still coming. We're gonna wait a little bit. Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Father. It says that Jesus has been given a name so much greater than the name of the angels. Jesus is so much greater than them. Guys, we have the ability to truly captivate the attention of God because Jesus lives in us. It says that through Jesus, we offer a sacrifice of praise to God. He's given us a voice that counts. He's given us a heart that he's pleased with. So let's pray. Father, I have no idea what I'm doing, Father. I just know that your Spirit is alive, that Jesus is alive. Paul says that I came to you when I came to you at first. I didn't preach with wisdom of words. He says the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. Father, let our faith not be in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God, Lord. So, Father, I pray right now. Lord, I come and I bow my knees to you, Father. I ask you in the name of Jesus that you would send your Spirit right now to us in power, that you would touch us, Father. Because as the woman with the flow of blood just said, if I could just touch him, then I'd be healed. Lord, we just need your touch. We just need your touch, Father, right now. So, Father, come from heaven and touch us right now. Everybody, repeat after me. Jesus, I confess you as Lord, and I completely surrender everything, and I thank you that your cross puts me to death and sets me free from me, and doesn't just do that as a mindset, but as a reality. And Father, I thank you that you rose Jesus from the dead. And that if we are united with him in his death, we shall be like him in the likeness of his resurrection. All right, I'm just going to pray for everybody. Father, I pray for every single person here that you would just touch them. That you would send your Holy Spirit, Father. That you would put in them a hunger. Put in them such a burning hunger and a thirst for righteousness. Because it says if we hunger and thirst for righteousness, we shall be filled, Father. Father, I thank you that everything that you've done in me, everything that you've shown me, you're going to do it in them, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Father, we pray even right now, God, we're gonna stand on your promise of faith right now. We're going to believe for healing right now. Father, every single person in this room that is either, that has a hurt back, that has hurt ankles, that hurt anything, Father, we ask in the name of Jesus through your Holy Spirit for your healing touch right now, God. In Jesus' name, Father. We ask for miracles, Father, right now. We ask for your healing right now. Father, Holy Spirit, come and bear witness to the Son, to Jesus, that the Father would be glorified right now. Father, come and touch your body. Come and touch your church and purify her. Father, call us back to the standard. Call us higher. Call us deeper. Show us why we're here. Teach us why we're on this earth, God. You paid a huge price, Jesus. You paid a huge price for us to carry you. Father, teach us who we are. Teach us who you are, God, even more. And Father, we thank you right now for your gift of peace. We thank you. I thank you, Father, that you've equipped every single person here right now. You've already equipped them for everything they need for life and godliness in Christ. For everything they need, God, to go and be a witness. Father, teach them how to be a witness. Teach them how to do it for you. Teach them how to do that instead of having just to do. Father, impart faith right now into your body. Give us faith right now. In Jesus' name, amen.